Welcome to the Sean Chandler Podcast, a place to talk movies and nerdy stuff way too much. Joining me, as always, is Griffin Schiller. Griffin, how's it going?
I am doing splendid, Sean. I can't wait to talk about Disney, and more Disney, dropping a giant bomb of news on us towards the end of last week. It's going to be great.
Here's the fun part about all this, the way this all kind of plans out or works out. So the reason we took a break on the podcast is that I was just getting burned out every single week. We were just talking about what movie got delayed. We weren't talking about what new thing's happening. We weren't talking about what's coming out. We were only talking about what was getting delayed. And I was like, this isn't why I started the podcast. It's becoming a joke. The Sean Chandler Talks About Delayed Movies podcast. So I'm going to take a break. When stuff happens, we'll talk about it, but I need to reevaluate.
Well, now stuff happened.
And more importantly, here's the way it worked out. So I took last week off entirely. It was supposed to be I was supposedly taking last week off entirely. I edited a couple videos in advance. I was going to do a Mando review on Friday. I'm just going to take the week off, relax, because the end of the year is just packed for me. Yeah. That's going to be a family Christmas vacation. Life was off. And then all that Spider-Man stuff started dropping. And I was like, no, I have to have restraint. I have to respect family time. And then I hopped onto this Disney investor stream, I wasn't thinking too much. I was on vacation. I was like, oh, I'm just interested. I'm just going to watch this. And then I was like, oh, crap. Vacation is over. It is go time. So we are back because stuff was announced.
Yeah,
stuff
right.
And like, any other week, you could pick any one of these segments that you see down below on the lower third. You could pick any one of them, and it would be a whole podcast of really good, juicy stuff. In fact, some of the things we'll talk about for just about 10 seconds, and you're like, three men and a baby? That was the topic of a video when we were like, that's all we had. And that's literally 0.2% of what they announced last Thursday. And they just kept going and going. And so we've got plenty to talk about. If you're tuning in down below, that is the order where we're going to talk about things. And I'll put adjust it so you'll know what topic we're talking about. If you're watching the replay in the future or listening to the audio version of this, there'll be time codes down below. Some of you might be very interested in my thoughts on Pixar, whatever. You can skip ahead to the parts in the future. If you're watching live, it's in the future, so you're not able to use that feature as of yet because that technology hasn't been invented.
Unless you have access to inversion.
That's true. If you do
a turnstile, then you'll have already experienced the end of this podcast, and then you'll be experiencing this for the first time.
And down below in the comments, if you are inverted, let us know what happened, but be sure not to write in reverse. So I'll know what to say, what opinions to have, which ones are going to make people mad. With all that said, if you're listening to the audio version, be sure to leave a review, a rating, all of that fun stuff. Kind of helps it rank a little bit better. I do plan on making these a regular thing, and I'll have a better plan in January, but I'm thinking probably every 2 weeks is what I'm thinking about right now. And with that said, let's go ahead and move along. So Disney Investor Day, they did this live stream where they essentially unloaded their entire plan for the next 3 years, 2 years.
Yeah,
for everything.
I think they only announced stuff through 2023. I didn't hear anything past 2023. So yeah, I think that's for the next 3 years or so.
So next 3 years, what they're planning for all of their different brands. And I mean, this thing, it was legitimately every 30 seconds, there was something worth note. Every 30 seconds. Even when they were on National Geographic, they're like, hey guys, we're going to do a National Geographic show. Like, okay, whatever.
With
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Our next one, our next National Geographic show with Will Smith. It's like, even National Geographic, they're big announcements. And so, and it ran, 2 hours, 3 hours straight of big announcements constantly for 2 hours, so much so that you couldn't keep up with it. If we spent a minute on each thing they talked about, this podcast would be 4 hours, 5 hours long. So with that said, what was your general feeling watching it? Your emotional state, as well as kind of like your brain, the emotion and the brain, and how contradictory were they all throughout?
Like, don't get me wrong. There was stuff in here that I was definitely excited for, but my biggest takeaway was like, this is kind of gross. They're not even like trying, like, and I understand it's an investors meeting and it's like, you know, we're just privy enough to be able to watch it as a stream, but like they knew that the larger ramifications of streaming an investor meeting, where they announced their plans for the next 3 years, was going to be massive just in terms of the online conversation and the trades and the publications and all that stuff. That's why they decided to stream it. And you could just sense the lack of passion and care from like all the heads of the departments, presenting. Like, honest to God, I think the person who had the most energetic presence was Pete Docter. And that's just because he's Pete Docter and he runs Pixar and he's a filmmaker along with being like one of the head creatives over there. So like it was just really like, to me, the big takeaway from the entire thing was creativity has just become a product that we're trying to market and sell. And the entire panel, only Disney could make a 4 hour long presentation based solely around logos and temp music, and people would lose their mind. And that's honest to God, all it was. I mean, yeah, you get some of the Marvel stuff and there's like trailers dropped and well, cool, but whatever. But like as a whole, it just like, you know, Bob Iger was like, oh, we're quality and quantity. And I'm like, what I'm seeing here is quantity over quality. And it's really disappointing. And I mean, I say this every single time I talk about it.
I think it's a little bit tough to say that's entirely true. Definitive.
Sure.
Some of the like there's things that were interesting. And then it's like, we're going to make a spinoff from the dog from Up. Like, wait, one of the ideas from Pixar is the dog from Up?
I know.
Like, I think that's what, when you say that, I think that's the key piece to say at this moment, is that a lot of these ideas, it just feels like anybody could have come up with any of this. That's, I think, my objection.
No, and I agree with you. And you know what? I'm glad you brought that example up, because it's even affecting Pixar. Like, I mean, Pixar, we're getting like Luca, which looks incredible, and Lightyear, which, I mean, we'll talk about a bunch of that stuff later down, which I think actually legitimately looks great. But like in some of the shows, it's just like, we're going to do a spinoff on the dog from Up and we're going to call it Doug. And I'm like, wow. You don't even care about the title. Like, it's just, it just shows, sort of what I've been saying the entire time, and excuse my language, but just like with what Disney is sort of doing with collecting all of this IP and cornering the market, it's sort of like the bastardization of creativity in my mind. Because, you know, a lot of these things, it just, I don't know. I'm like, I struggle with one entity housing all of this content and that entity being the go-to place just for everything, and then no one else really. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, I think it's especially when you start to realize they started this thing off by announcing an alien TV show.
Yeah,
it's that, and then we're talking about National Geographic, and we've forgotten about half the things they announced, because they announced so much, they are associated with so much, and it just makes it really tough to process one place having that much stuff. So anyway, so my general impressions, I put it on just to be like, I got on Twitter and I was like, oh, an alien show. Wait, I wonder if I could watch this stream. And it just was this overwhelming sensation of like, oh, that sounds really cool. Followed immediately by, what are they thinking? Followed by, oh, that was really cool. Followed by, are you serious? The whole time. The whole time.
I think I did the same thing, because it was like, I mean, literally what we saw, and you and I've had this conversation a lot, where like Disney, which used to be the company that championed original content and creativity, is now releasing solely sequels, reboots, and remakes of their properties or IPs that they have. And I mean, like, I don't think I saw like one original idea throughout that entire like presentation, and there was a lot announced, and I was just like, that's depressing, you know.
So like for me, I was at first listening without headphones, and when it got to the part about the live action stuff, And they started being like, and we're going to do Turner and Hooch, and we're going to do Sinister Act 3, and we're going to do Beauty and the Beast prequel without Beauty or the Beast, and we're going to do Mighty Ducks 4. My wife literally was like, headphones, put on headphones. I can't take this anymore. I can't do it. Yeah. I can't do this anymore. Like, what? Are you kidding me? This is Disney. What are they doing?
Yeah.
But at the same time, because I want to make sure this whole thing's balanced, there's a bunch of things they announced that I'm excited about. And they did certain studios have new things, original things coming out. You look at Disney Animation next year, Ray and the Dragon, Encanto, and then Pixar has Luca. These are original stories. So there are things in there, and Pixar announced that they're going to do their first original television show. So there's things in there, but there's also a bunch of stuff that you're like, I don't understand the logic, because I get where they're coming from when they go, okay, Lion King made almost $2 billion. This is a safe bet. It's business-wise irresponsible to not learn a lesson from that. But, and so then I tweeted out, like, come on, what are they doing? Why are they taking a risk on Turner and Hooch, Sinister Act 3, another Swiss Family Robinson? And people argued with me, like, it's business. They know that remakes work. I was like, but it was Lion King. Lion King worked. Aladdin worked. Beloved things that are still in the consciousness that are for people my age. It's nostalgia for me, and I have kids. That's why it works so well. It's fantastic, easy to sell a ticket to content for a group of people. But that's not Sinister Act 3. That's not Swiss Family Robinson. That's where, to me, this got a little bit frustrating. So some people mentioned the comment, Hocus Pocus 2. I think that one has a little bit more charm to it. Not for me. I've never seen the original, so I don't have any skin in the game at all. But a lot of that, I think where there's some frustration on this one is that they announced so many things that, like, obviously I made a bunch of videos about it. I'm excited to see these trailers, a bunch of these shows. I'm sure I'm going to love a bunch of these movies. I'm sure I'm going to love. And then there's the other side to it of, like, Disney, you've turned into McDonald's.
Well,
like you're just cranking out the same things through a factory. You've got a great factory. You can, they'll all be dependably, a very high percentage of them will be professionally well made. You're not going to have that many Artemis Fowls, but come on, Disney.
Yeah.
Why are you taking that? This is the thing for me. I don't care if you do remakes. If when you have the margin, you keep trying to move forward. Pixar's doing that. Disney Animation is doing that. Some of these other studios, they're just not.
Yeah.
They're just not. And that's the frustration. So if you got some final thoughts, general impressions, and then we'll start kind of talking through some of the individual announcements about these. If you guys are watching down below, that little lower third is the order in which we're going to talk about things. So you can know where we're heading in the near future. We're about to talk about Star Wars. Any kind of final general impressions?
Yeah, I think to your point, it was like for every like original animated project, because it was, I think the original stuff was mostly delegated to animation.
Yeah.
For every one of those, it would get drowned out in like the million Star Wars spinoffs, the million Marvel spinoffs, the million like remakes and sequels that were made. So it's like we didn't have time to really appreciate the few original pieces of content that they had, which did in fact look good. But I think the last thing I'll say here is sort of what you said a while back, whether it was on my channel or whether it was here, was that by doing this, they're not creating new original properties for the next generation. And so the next generation is going to grow up just knowing sequels and reboots. And so it's like they're not going to have like the 80s had that incredible period of just like original content for like a decade or so.
Right. So like the reason that they can do what they're doing right now is because of the Disney Renaissance, because they went, man, our animation department has been not so great. I mean, they literally call it like the Dark Ages. For there's like 15 years there after 15, 20 years after Walt Disney died. It was a little bit of a dry spell for Disney animation. And then they had this Renaissance in the late 80s, and then this incredible streak of creativity from The Little Mermaid for the next 10 years. And now here we are 30 years later, they're pulling from that and making these mega hits, but they're not doing enough to make the next thing like that, make the next risk, the next chance to discover that next franchise. And so what, are you going to remake the sequel? Like, what, remake the remake? It's just, that's to me the short-sighted side to it. I get placing safe bets. I get buying Star Wars and using that. I get all of that. But you also have to take the risks. And we'll talk about some of those kind of going along with that. With that in mind, let's move along to our Star Wars announcements. And the big thing, they announced 9 Star Wars TV shows over the next couple of years. They talked about Indiana Jones 5 coming, which we knew was happening, but they kind of confirmed it's happening with James Mangold. And it's the last one. And they're doing a Willow TV series, which we knew. Mm-hmm. They're doing a Children of Blood and Bone book adaptation. This is actually the Lucasfilm panel is what I should call it, which I'm not familiar with the book, but I'm glad that they're doing something that's not just Star Wars and Indiana Jones. And the probably the big one that they announced was Patty Jenkins, director of the Wonder Woman movies, is going to direct Rogue Squadron. And the way she described it, it's very much like a passion project. Like her dad was a fighter pilot. And the way she, like, the way that, when you just watch the panel, it was like, oh, that's cool, they're doing that. And if you watch her actual little video of her roller skating, putting on the helmet and talking about her dad, it's a pretty cool little announcement.
Yeah.
And then the final thought, and I'll pass it along to over to you real quick. And then they did not mention this Rian Johnson trilogy that hasn't been canceled yet. That was interesting that was excluded or not mentioned at all.
As far as I'm concerned, that Rian Johnson trilogy is unfortunately dead, and I genuinely mean unfortunately, because I do think, like, you know, give him a new era of time without any, you know, without being hampered by the Skywalker trilogy and everything like that. And I think he'd do an incredible job in the Star Wars universe. So, you know, unfortunately, they're just being reactionary and not allowing him to do those films, because I'm at the point where I don't think it'll ever happen at this point. But the thing I wanted to say about the Rogue Squadron film was that while I'm still not that excited about it, because I'm just like, oh, Rogue Squadron, okay, cool. So it's just going to be like Top Gun in the Star Wars universe. And I'm like, all right, I don't know how I really feel about that. But that being said, I do think that Patty Jenkins' video that she put on her social media did sell me a little bit more on it. It showed there was a personal investment in the story. And apparently she's been working on this script for a while. So, like, listen, she has a lot of goodwill from Wonder Woman and from the stuff that she's done prior to Wonder Woman and outside of the DCEU. So I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and I'm going to trust her. But based on concept and, you know, what we know thus far, I'm really not that excited about a Rogue Squadron film. But, you know, if Patty Jenkins believes in it, so be it. In terms of the rest of the projects, like, yeah, Willow, I don't really care. Rangers of the New
How Republic. Dare you? How dare you? You take that back.
Again, random just niche 80s nostalgia that they're like, oh, wait, yeah, that has kind of a following. Let's turn that into a series. I'm just like, okay, whatever. Rangers of the New Republic, I'm not that excited about, but like after seeing last week's episode of The Mandalorian, I do see the potential.
As a point of reference, if you don't know Griffin's take on Mandalorian, 1 week he's like, oh, that was really cool. The next week was like, contrarian, that sucked, I hated that. The next week, this one's another great one. Like it's the up and down. You're like, what? Whoa.
And don't even try and tell me that Boba Fett episode was good. It sucked. It was barely even an episode. It was just a bunch of fan fiction. Anyways.
I'm talking about, chat?
So anyways, the Rangers of the New Republic, I think with that, while I'm not crazy about the idea and you know, Cara Dune being the lead person there, I think they did set up the pieces in play, you know, with Mayfield and then obviously Carl Weathers' character, Cara Dune, and then Fennec. I think there were a lot of cool people that were introduced in The Mandalorian that we can put together as a team and explore a little bit more in this series and also explore the state of the galaxy, which was a big thing that I loved about last week's episode. And I hope they continue in Mandalorian and in that Rangers of the New Republic. So that gave me a little bit of hope, not overly crazy about it. Obi-Wan series, all in. Hayden Christensen coming back, exciting. You know, it does contradict Star Wars mythology, but I'm sure they'll find a workaround.
Star Wars kind of likes to do that. That Princess Leia in Return of the Jedi was like, yeah, I remember my mom when I was young.
Yeah.
And then trying to explain that one away and... Anyway, Star Wars cheats a little bit.
Well, it's annoying because it's like literally the only reason they could get away with it is because Vader trails off the sentence. He doesn't finish the sentence. He's like, a presence I haven't felt since. And then he just sort of like walks away and it's like, aha, we have a loophole. And I'm like, that's bullshit. That's unbelievable. If Hayden Christensen's Darth Vader is going to pop up and interact with Obi-Wan, I hope it is minimal and from like and it's not that involved, but regardless, I'm excited to see that. Cassian Andor series has me pumped. That is by far the biggest piece of Star Wars news that I got really excited about. The stuff that they were showing, from the concept art to like Diego Luna talking about it, to like the gritty grounded spy action adventure elements of it. I think they're going to take what was so great about Rogue One and the moral ambiguity of the rebellion, and they're really going to place it under a magnifying glass here and explore that more.
Once again, point of reference, Griffin loves spy movies. The guy behind Cassian Andor, is Tony Gilroy, who did the Bourne films. Yeah. And then obviously that movie already built into it kind of had that spy vibe. So you take Star Wars, take spy stuff, there you have it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm all in on that. I mean, you were excited about that, right?
I'm excited about a Tony Gilroy spy series in Star Wars.
Right.
The idea, like at face value, hey, we're doing Andor. I hear that and I go, Rogue One, the big criticism is that the characters are pretty forgettable and then they're killed off and you don't. It's like, okay, yeah. It was a fun war. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool stuff in there. But who cares about the characters? And you go, it's about one of those characters. Like, why would I care? Like that. And so that to me is the piece to it. That's like, okay. And then across the board, I'm just normally very opposed to another story set between episode 3 and 4.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, look at this list. And if we can quickly kind of fly through these, but half of them are set between episode 3 and 4. Like that to me, where you're going like, what, a Lando series and where all the, and we're doing a follow-up to the Clone Wars. It's set in this time period. Like, they're all set in this time period, and that's frustrating to me. And so if they said, hey, we're doing one awesome spy show about the Rebels, and you didn't have the other ones, I don't just have quite as much of that built-in jaded. Like, I can only be excited about so many in that time period. Obi-Wan is my number one for that time period. So then from there, they just kind of trickle on out in my interest. And so,
yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. And that's why I was excited about The Acolyte, even though I literally know nothing about it.
Yes.
But like,
yeah. So let's pause on that one. Right. Yeah. That to me is my second most anticipated, because it's different. And I don't know what it is. It's exactly a different time period. That's what I want. So Obi-Wan, I that they're getting Ewan McGregor back. There's just a buff, just so much built into that, that it's like, yeah, I think this one is just a good idea to have one more story with him.
Yeah,
but from there, I want something different. And The Acolyte is that.
Well, it's funny, and I know we're kind of jumping all over the place, but like the Lando show, I'm like, you know, this should have just been your solo movie, and you wouldn't have had to like put it into the form of a series. But what does excite me about that is that I think we'll get to see more of Donald Glover as Lando, and then they'll also incorporate Billy Dee Williams in there, and so it'll be sort of like a dual Lando time jump sort of thing. That's cool. The series itself, I'm just like, whatever. Ahsoka obviously is going to be exciting, because I think they planted the seeds for what that's going to be in The Mandalorian. I think we're going to see Grand Admiral Thrawn in there. I think we're going to get to see Ezra in some of the other Rebels threads carried over into that show. So I'm definitely excited for Ahsoka. Visions, the droid garbage, whatever. That's like, I mean, it's not for me. So whatever. But
I think that's part of the problem on some of this, is that part of what robs the overall excitement for the ones that are like, oh, that's a really cool idea, is that there's just so many things.
Yeah.
And as humans, we only have so much emotion, only so much care. And so when it's just like they're announcing 9 of these things,
it's too much, man.
It feels like too much. It feels like, let's see how, at least with Star Wars, we haven't gotten to, you know, obviously we'll get to Marvel much later in this, but at least with Star Wars, Mandalorian has been well received. So they have some framework to know where the fan base is at. Because Marvel, 13 of them, and they don't know how people are going to respond to these shows. That's interesting to me. So, but yeah, it's just so much stuff that it just kind of overwhelms you, that you're like, oh, Star Wars is happening with this whole mixed weird set of emotions, because some of them you're actively like, I don't care about that. You're in my case, it's, you know, people in the comment are like, hey, I'm excited about the Bad Batch. I'm excited about this. Like, I'm not cynical towards it. I'm not necessarily the target audience because I'm not as connected to the Clone Wars. I didn't grow up watching it. But it's just kind of thrown in a whole bunch of different stuff to where it's like, why are we having so many stories in this time period? And I've been saying this like for the whole time I've had my channel. Why do we keep going to the same time period? And then they announced,
because of nostalgia, Sean. It's nostalgia. Jeez.
And then, of course, my number one is set during that time period. So I cheat my own rules. But like, they,
it's also like the stories that they're telling, you know, it's like Obi-Wan. Yes, because that's, we want to see more of Ewan McGregor as a character.
He's a top tier actor and top tier character.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, some of these other ones, it's just like, okay, you couldn't figure out what you wanted to do, but you wanted to set it during this time period because nostalgia. And That's where I get frustrated. That's why, like, the Ahsoka show, I'm okay with, because that's like away from that time period. It's dealing in, you know, the same time period as the Mandalorian kind of is, and all that stuff. So, yeah, the further we can get away from the original trilogy, the better. And yeah, that's why the Acolyte is interesting, because yes, hopefully that'll be like their Old Republic kind of thing.
Correct. And I think that's the thing that's so interesting to me, that they're also starting this new set of books that I've already pre-ordered the first couple of them, that we're seeing something different. It's in canon. They're doing a show that kind of ties to that era as well. Looks like it's much more dark side focused.
Yeah.
And so it's new stuff. We're not limited by having to fit the rules of the Empire, Skywalker saga. We can have new stories, but all the fun of the world of Star Wars, too. That's why I'm excited about it, and hopefully it lives up to that excitement. Any final thoughts on Star Wars before we move on to the next topic?
I mean, I just, like, it's just kind of, it's too much. I mean, like, listen, Star Wars isn't Marvel, and it's not like all these other properties where it's like, you know, you can spin it off in a million and one different directions. I think what makes Star Wars special is the waiting period in between installments, is the fact that there can be,
the specialness is gone.
Yeah, the specialness is just completely ripped out of the
novelty, scarcity, yeah, all of that stuff that it's like, I mean, sorry to cut you off, but like, oh, when no, The Force Awakens came out, oh my goodness, our first Star Wars movie in 10 years. We never thought this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then they announced 9 Star Wars TV shows, 2 Star Wars movies. Like, we didn't even talk about the Taika Waititi one because it's like, oh yeah, that's happening. And that specialness is gone.
Yeah, it is. It's just become, you know, a brand that you can, that is like, how can we sell as much of this as we can, you know, until there's nothing left.
Okay, moving along to the next set of announcements. We're going to talk about Disney Animation. If you're tuning in live, you can look down below. There's that little bar. That's the order in which we're going to talk about things as we go through this. If you're watching in the future, you can skip ahead to the different subjects. Let me try and find that on here. Where was that? There it is. So one of the sections of Disney that seems to have maintained its integrity for the most part and doesn't seem to have been sucked as much into the corporate engine, at least with the theatrical, is Disney Animation Studios. So we've got Raya and the Last Dragon coming out. We've already seen a trailer for that one. And then coming out about a year from now is Encanto. That's actually, or is it Encanto? Or
yeah, Encanto. Yeah,
I can't read which way that one was going. But so coming out about a year from now, and it's the 60th film from Disney Animation. And so they're doing different things. It doesn't seem like they're milking things with this one. But that's only half the equation. When it comes to theatrical, then when it comes to the series, is they announced a TV show for half the movies that they put out in the last decade. And so that's the side to it. I think that just kind of the whole thing, just it's tough to not have a little bit of a cynicism in a side to this of like, oh man, you're doing something original. And when they first announced, oh, we're going to do Tatiana. Oh, that's Princess and the Frog. Okay. Doing a continuation. That's pretty cool. And Zootopia. and Moana and Big Hero 6. And you go, wait a minute. So we just announced four sequel TV shows. And on the other, to balance this one out a little bit, because I don't want to go too negative, Disney's always done TV shows of their big animated films. That I think that it's not nearly as a frustration to me that they're doing that, because that's what they've always done. That's what everybody's always done. If I go back to my childhood, I mean, when I was a kid, like they had a Rambo kids TV show and a Chuck Norris TV show and Beetlejuice, the TV show. They had Toxic Crusaders based off Toxic Avenger. They made a kids show out of that. And so, I mean, this is what studios have always done. So I don't want to be overly cynical, but in the context of everything else, I think you just kind of start to lump things together a little bit more and have some frustrations. So based off kind of these announcements, what's your kind of take on the Disney animation side of things?
Yeah. I mean, like the one that I got really excited about was that collaboration they're doing with the, I forget what country they're from, but the African writers, Owaju. That was like, that was really cool. And I thought like the fact that it's going to be an original story, it's going to be like pretty fantastical and everything, like that was like, yeah, more of that, please. That sounds interesting. So yeah. And then Raya and the Last Dragon, I've been very excited about that. I think, you know, when I went to D23 and I got to see like a sizzle reel of some of the sequences from that, the animation is just jaw dropping. Yeah. It's astonishing. Encanto sounds really great. I think it'll be a good, 60th animated film for them. In terms of the TV shows, yeah, I'm really glad you brought up the point about their the Disney Channel animated shows, because like I grew up really liking the Lilo and Stitch, 2D animated show. Timon and Pumbaa was fun, and so like there are ways to do spinoffs like that that are just like, you know, their fun own little adventures, and so I'm less cynical about that because they've been doing it for years and they've been doing it successfully. So that's fine. It just kind of comes down to the titles. It's like, oh, what are we going to name this this Zootopia show? Let's name it Zootopia Plus. That'll get them. There we go. Based off of coming to Disney Plus. That was nice little thing there. The Tiana show, I think that's great, because I think Princess and the Frog is one of the most underrated films in the Disney feature animated thing. I really, really hope it is 2D, because that would be even more exciting.
Anytime we do kind of like 2D animation, I enjoy it. Like I just watched all the DreamWorks movies. That was quite the project.
It's an undertaking.
And the first set of them, we're still from the 2D era, and it was just refreshing to see 2D.
Yeah,
it's a nice novelty when you're so used to 3D animation, computer animation.
Yeah,
computer animation is phenomenal, but I really dug what they started to do with 2D animation over the last last little bit there before they switched almost entirely over. They did some really cool stuff of combining 2D animation with 3D stuff. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're fine, because I do think, you know, for as much crap as the aughts get, the early 2000 years get, I think their animation they really reached the peak of what they could do with 2D animation. And like, you know, you look at stuff like Treasure Planet and Atlantis, Brother Bear, and Princess and the Frog and stuff like that. And they, regardless of how you feel about the films themselves, I think they all looked excellent. And so, yeah, hopefully they can do that with Tiana. Baymax should be fun. The Moana show, why are you calling it Moana? Like, that just seems weird, but whatever. Yeah, I mean, nothing really too passionate to say about that, but I am glad that like the department that kickstarted Disney's success like decades ago is still remaining original in the content that they're putting out.
Yeah, and I think that's somewhat the piece in this that can be frustrating, especially when we get to Disney live action. Like, it's like,
just throw it all out.
It's just McDonald's. It's just film going down the assembly line.
Yeah.
All right. What have we not run through the machine yet and turned it live action? And we'll get there in just a little bit. So I'm glad that some of these are still good. On that note, let's move along to our next, not that one, that's animation. Our next studio, Pixar. And for Pixar, they announced a few things that we already knew what was coming for a couple of these. So mm-hmm. Luca's coming out next year. Obviously, we have Soul coming out on Christmas Day. You've already seen Soul. What's your two-sentence review?
It's a masterpiece, and you should go watch my video essay on it because it's my favorite film of the year.
So when this video is done, head on over to FilmSpeak, watch his video essay on the movie Soul. And that's kind of what everyone's saying. Now, here's the other question. Is it for kids? How kiddy is it?
It's challenging for kids, for sure. Kind of in the same way that Inside Out is, maybe a little bit more so. But I think there's enough in there that'll... I don't know.
We're not going to show our kids until we've after watched it. And we don't know that we'll show it to them anytime soon because...
Oh, really?
Our son's pretty... this things you shouldn't say. A little rabbit trail here. Yeah. So back in October, I was watching through all these movies for 31 on 31. My son is obsessed with killer aliens. So we let him watch Predator with us. And we played Predator Hunting Grounds because I'm a great parent. Chloe, the six-year-old, watched Predator with us. No problems. Totally dug it. He calls Arnold Schwarzenegger Dutch. When we're watching Jingle All the Way, like, oh, Dutch is fighting Santa Claus.
We put on
The Prince of Egypt. And Liam is losing it in the first 5 minutes.
Wow.
And it's, you know, he's heard the story of course, you know, we're a church going family. So he's heard the story of Moses many times before. But just watching a story about a mom having to take her son and set him free, that was not for him.
Wow.
Predator. I mean, he's ripping skulls out, skinning people alive. Awesome. You know, it's his favorite movie or whatever. But that little story about death, that little story about separation and stuff, like, so it's kind of very specific things that we're like, we're not going to show him Soul until we're confident that he'll be OK with it. Yeah, anyway, that little rabbit trail there.
Yeah, I mean, all I'll say about Soul is that I think that it's less about death and more of a celebration of life and finding your purpose. So if that helps at all, but I mean, you know, you'll watch and you'll make up your own mind, but everyone go check out Soul on Christmas. It's incredible.
So next year, we're also getting the movie Luca that, you know, we got a little bit of a description of the movie. They announced their first original TV show. That's interesting to me that they're doing kind of an original show. Not sure what that'll be. And I think that's pretty cool without knowing much besides it's called Turning Red. Can't have too big of emotions about it. But
wait, isn't that a film? And then the baseball one is like their original show. Is that what it is? Win or Lose. Yeah. Win or Lose is the animated original series, I think. Right. And then Turning Red is like a theatrical release.
So there's so many announcements. It was tough to keep up.
Yeah, I know.
So they're doing their first original series. I guess you're correct. It says Win or Lose in this article. And then Turning Red is one of their next original story.
Yeah. After Luca.
And then the big announcement that got people talking about with Pixar, Lightyear. And there's a lot of confusion about this one because it's a weird concept. So Lightyear is going to be a new Pixar theatrical film. Chris Evans, Captain America, will be voicing Buzz Lightyear. It is not Toy Story 5. It is an origin story for Buzz Lightyear. Not the toy, the character Buzz Lightyear, as if that character has an origin story. So that's what Lightyear is. You know, I've said it many times that I don't want a Toy Story 5 because I like it when Pixar does new, different. And so going back to the Toy Story well for a fifth time isn't the thing that excites me the most. The concept of this sounds like a direct-to-video sequel thing that you do. Didn't even have a TV show out of this or something like that.
So that concept, yeah, Buzz Lightyear, Star Command, yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure it'll be great because it's Pixar. It's not the direction I would have taken things.
Wow. I'll say something that'll blow your socks off. This was my favorite announcement of the entire thing. This got me really excited.
Griffin, because, man of mystery.
Because like here's the thing. It's like, you know, how do you, sure, yeah, you could look at it as being like, oh, they're going back to the Toy Story well, but this is like a genius idea because like Buzz Lightyear was based off of, was the toy that was based off of the animated TV series that they watch in Toy Story 2, and they have the Buzz Lightyear Star Command, which was then based off of, in the Toy Story world, this real person that is Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. And so we're going to tell the real story of Buzz Lightyear. Like, that's interesting to me. And now, granted, I could be wrong. Maybe they're talking about the movie Lightyear that was released in, you know, the Toy Story world or something like that. Regardless, whether it's the real person or whether it's this, you know, this movie that is set inside of the world of Toy Story or whatever. I just think that it's such an interesting concept, and like getting someone like Chris Evans to voice the real Buzz Lightyear. I know a lot of people are mad that Tim Allen isn't coming back, yeah. But like, this is the guy, this isn't the toy. And so you, right. Like, you would expect like the toy to have a little bit more of a, like Tim Allen has like a raspier, like voice that sounds like it's coming out of a vocal box sometimes, mm-hmm. which is why I think he's perfect for that character.
And if it's an origin story, Tim Allen's he's about to turn 70 by the time this turn comes out.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. And so like this, I don't know, it's interesting. And I think you could get like, I don't know, like a first man kind of story, like in the Pixar universe. Like, I don't know, to me, this just sounds like they're going to go all in on sci-fi fiction and just like have fun with it, but tell a really compelling story. And that to me, like, if you're going to continue Toy Story in any way, like, this isn't just a Buzz spinoff. This right. is like,
it's its own idea. Thing that's very different. Well, I mean, even, you know, one of the standout sequences of Toy Story 2 is the first 5 minutes. And they right. incorporate kind of that origin and the Star Wars parody of it into the story. And I think that's even the reason my kids put that one on the most, because it's like, oh, it's space. And, yeah. and it's a movie of that. So I think that's the one of the big joys of the reason that I always like the reason this podcast came together is as soon as I put it together, like, oh, I'll just have Griffin on. And whenever we, you know, you called me what, a year and 2 months ago, and it just ended up turning into this podcast, is having wildly different takes on all of this stuff that are a little bit unpredictable, because I wouldn't have guessed that. I wouldn't have guessed that. Yeah. That's where you'd be coming from on this one. Any other thoughts on the Pixar's? Oh, excuse me. If you could go deeper thoughts on Doug, we didn't talk about Doug again. They're doing a spinoff for Doug the dog from Up.
I think that Up is one of the more overrated Pixar movies, and I don't love Doug, so the fact that he's getting his own series doesn't excite me in the slightest. So
once again, kind of the recurring theme in this, it's that those types of ideas that I think are a big part of what frustrated us with the overall experience of this, because yeah. there's the things that, like, for you, Lightyear, oh, that's awesome, that's a cool, interesting spin on this character, and we're gonna do Doug the dog. Wait, what? What? We're doing a show about the dog?
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, what's going on? Oh, wait, we forgot. There's a Cars show coming because they don't have enough
of those
Cars movies coming out.
No, I mean, those Cars, that's a safe, easy, obvious. But kids love Cars. There's so many easy things to do with that. So that's like, I get that one. I get why that's an easy sell. But the show.
The thing that I'm curious about with the Cars spinoff series is, are they going to explore how these sentient cars came to be? One, how do they reproduce? Two, how did this world become what it is? That's what I want to know. And if they don't explore that, the meaning of life in the show of Cars, I'm going to be very, very disappointed.
Right. I me too. I just hope it's very existential and very much also ontological and diving into the existence, and in learning more about the cars and their way of life, yeah. we can learn more about ourselves. Speaking of ourselves, we're in live action, and let's start talking about the Disney live action announcements. And this, out of the set of announcements, the Disney live action one, we mentioned this earlier in here, when I got to this section, because they had the different people that run the studios do the presentations. When we got to this one, my wife told me, I can't listen to this crap anymore. Put headphones on. That's as a starting point for what was her take on this. And as we go into this, and as I start looking at the article real quick, you'll see why and the frustration. She could not stand the fact that they were only announcing sequels, reboots, remakes, requels, and talking about money. She didn't know it was an investor meeting. So she's like, oh, they're talking about is money. Why don't they care about creative integrity? Why are they all, like, Jennifer, this is actually an investor meeting. So that's what they're supposed to talk about. She's like, right. Oh, okay. That makes more sense. But why are they only talking about sequels? Let's look at this. Oh, this one right here. Okay. Heading over to our article, our big picture, Cruella, another live action version of 101 Dalmatians.
Right.
Heading down, Hocus Pocus 2, reboots of Three Men and a Baby, with a movie that was a huge hit in the late 80s, but nobody talks about. I mean, it was huge. It really was, but nobody talks about it now. Nobody really remembers Three Men and a Baby. It was actually directed by Leonard Nimoy. Spock himself, did you know that?
I did not, but I think you mentioned that when we talked about it when it was first announced.
So, I mean, back in the day, that everybody, Spock directed a comedy, and it's really good. But it was over 30 years ago. Nobody cares. Even the sequel to it didn't do well. Did you know there was a sequel to it?
I did not, but I assume that you're the expert here on Three Men and a Baby. Is this your secret favorite film franchise of all time?
We'll find out pretty soon as I geek out over this one. Cheaper by the Dozen. A reboot of that one was 15 years old, already rebooting it. Sister Act 3, Pinocchio, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Peter and Wendy, Disenchanted. I'm actually excited about that one. We watched Enchanted the day before, and then they officially announced they are doing a sequel to it. And then we go down here. It's the same division, but these are animated. Animated Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Animated Night at the Museum, then a prequel to The Lion King, remake of the Little Mermaid. I mean, sequel, reboot, remake, live action adaptation. Boom, 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 boom. And there's a few of them that you go, okay, yeah, there's a pretty good hook there. Emma Stone is Cruella. Yeah, I can see how that's going to get people to buy tickets. Lion King made $1 billion. Okay, I get it. And then there's so many of them that it's like, I don't know what you're doing. And we missed Mighty Ducks. Mighty Ducks. We missed it. Ducks is in
that trailer. That trailer was awful. Bad trailer. I'll say this. I hated everything except for Cruella. That gets me interested because of how stylized it is. Craig Gillespie, who did I, Tonya and stuff like that, is doing the film. I really like him as a filmmaker, and so I think he'll bring something interesting to it. And just like they're going full in on like UK punk during like the what was it, like the 70s or something like that. I forget the decade it was in, but like, I don't know. And that, to me, and with, and like, you know, the pictures we've seen and like Emma Stone, I feel like it's going to be a fun movie if they're going to do one of these like spinoff kind of things. I was really bummed that we didn't get the trailer, to be honest. I think they should have dropped that, but everything else can just go to hell. I don't care about any of it. Like, I don't care.
What do you mean? You're not excited for Peter and Wendy, another version of Peter Pan?
No. The only good version of Peter Pan outside of the original animated one, and this one's actually even better than that, is the 2003 one with Jason Isaacs as Captain Hook and Jeremy Sumpter as Peter Pan, with that incredible score by James Newton Howard. That is the definitive Peter Pan, and the fact that they've tried to remake it like three times since then is stupid, and there does not need to be another one. No more. No more Peter Pan. Also, while we're on the topic, why would they greenlight a Pinocchio film directed by Robert Zemeckis, who is in like one of the most abysmal stages of his career that like a filmmaker could ever have? Why would they greenlight that with Tom Hanks, and they're going to use the Polar Express mocap work?
Nice.
Who's excited for that? What?
And isn't there a Guillermo del Toro Pinocchio going on too?
There is. That I'm interested in, because that could be like more like the traditional source material that it's based off of. But this, come on, man.
But, I mean, but like doing them at the same time, I guess that's where kind of I'm going with.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it's
like, what?
I don't know. But like, really, Robert Zemeckis? Listen, the guy isn't the same person who made Castaway and Back to the Future anymore. He's now the guy who's making The Witches. And that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, The Witches was really good. Probably my favorite movie of the year. Where are we at? Live action. I was thinking about Robert Zemeckis and The Witches and how much I loved that movie.
Yeah. Great.
I did not love that movie. moving right along to our final little segment on here for my channel, probably the big one.
You saved the best for last, guys.
Very intentionally. Start off with the big one, end with the big one, put the middle big one in the middle. Marvel. Marvel had their panel, and I went into it expecting a trailer or two. And I still wasn't planning on coming out of retirement. I was on vacation last week, as I've mentioned many times in here. Still wasn't planning to do any videos. And then they started dropping Marvel trailers. I was like, of course I have to react to these. And I ran upstairs to like react to them. I was like, oh, we're getting one. We're getting two. We're getting three. We're getting four. And they just kept going. And so they announced, and I did a video where I ranked the Marvel TV shows by excitement like 6 weeks ago. Because we'd had some bunch of new information and nothing else was happening. I was like, all right, I'll talk about these. And I wouldn't have updated that video, except they gave us four trailers, announced five new shows, and gave us updates on four more. It's like,
oh, man.
Holy cow. This is a lot of information. And we're not even talking about the movies yet. Like, they actually announced Fantastic Four is happening. The director for it. And that's like, we forgot about that because we got so much other information. So let's kind of walk through these. Talk about, I already did a video on the trailers. We already kind of talked about this in general. As excited as I am for a lot of these, and there's only one or two, or the only I Am Groot's the only one I'm not interested in.
Yeah.
So there's 12 there that I'm like, yeah, of course I'll check these out. Of course I have some level of interest in this world. It's just too much.
Announcing
12 shows before we see if the first one works just feels like too much. And it felt like they were like overlapping each other with a lot of it. So like when you're doing like War Machine, the show, or was it Armor Wars, as well as Ironheart, they feel like they're overlapping. So I my heart can only get excited for kind of one of them. Same thing like I mentioned about let's put out 10 shows set between episode 3 and 4. There's just so much overlap that I just can't get excited for all of them. And so when it's like, we're going to have two different stories about Iron Man-esque characters. I get that they're different. I get they're not going to be Iron Man. Tony Stark is Iron Man. Tony Stark is a dominating force. I totally get they're going to be wildly different, but they feel so close to it that it just feels like overlap to me. So even though, of course, if they announced one of them, like, oh, that's kind of cool. But when they announce both as part of announcing 13 things, it just feels like too much as a general take on it.
It is sort of weird that they didn't try and incorporate Armor Wars and Ironheart into the same series.
Exactly.
And then, you know, maybe if you introduce Riri Williams in the first season of Iron Wars, maybe the second season could be like a more Riri Williams centric story. I don't know. That to me is just like you're sort of like setting up like the longevity of the iron side of things.
Yes.
But I guess, I mean, I don't know. I don't know which series is going to come out first. So maybe that's exactly what they're going to do. And Armor Wars will come out first and that'll introduce her. And then Ironheart will be the series that she's in.
And the language they used, I could be missing a little bit of it, but with Ironheart, they said this leads directly into a movie. I don't recall them saying that about Armor Wars, though I could be wrong. They might have said that on that one too, in which case it sounds like there's a bunch of suit tech stuff going on leading into one of these movies. We had a super chat come in real quick, going a little bit back. Sebastian says, hi, Sean. I'm from Colombia, and I'm very excited with the announcement of Encanto. Hope it represents the Colombian culture in a proper way. And I think that's somewhat why we're excited about it. It's doing something different, telling different types of stories. And so we're right along with you. Like, that's with all of the things they're doing that feel have a certain sameness to them. And, you know, I'm not the most experimental in my taste. You could look at my favorite movies. It's a very obvious list for people my age that look like me. I like, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'm pumped about it. It's a pretty obvious show to do, spy thriller. And then there's a few announcements in this whole big deal that were interesting and different. And Encanto is one of them.
Yeah.
And so it's original. It's telling something that they're going to a space they haven't been to before. So very excited about that one as well. We had another super chat come in, and then we'll kind of dive back into those Marvel TV shows. Cameron says, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about Zootopia Plus because I always thought the world can expand the Zootopia. I think here's the deal. It's not that we're specifically cynical about any one of these. It's that they announced all of these, in which case they if they said, hey, we're going to really dive deep into Zootopia, we'd be like, that's kind of cool. There's a lot of room to explore this world of animals. We're going to do Princess and the Frog. Oh, it's an under-remembered Disney film. Oh, that's kind of interesting. Big Hero 6 spinoff, Baymax. Big Hero 6 is a superhero story. Of course you can tell more stories in that. But when you have four of these, that's 40% of the movies they put out in the last 10 years are getting a Disney Plus animated show from this Disney. That's, I think, the frustration. It's not specifically any one of these I'm cynical towards it. It's that there's so many of them. They, which, once again, the overwhelming theme in this, we're talking about, we're in the Marvel section right now. Am I excited that we're getting Marvel Disney Plus shows with $150 million budget for six episodes? Of course I am. My life is Marvel movies. This whole career of YouTube stuff is because of Marvel movies. I love this stuff. I got a bunch of toys right above my head. I got one for War Machine, a bunch of these characters. Of course I love it. But they announced so much.
Yeah,
that it's the so much side to it that it becomes kind of overwhelming. So we got a little bit distracted on there with some super chats. Back to the Disney Plus shows. I put out a video with kind of my take on them. Did you have any? Which couple are you most excited for, and which couple are you least excited for?
WandaVision, I'm really excited for, which I know you got a lot of heat for online, which is crazy.
So I have it as my next to last on mine, as a lot of you probably know, and I'm still excited about it. I'm going to be there opening day.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit too weird. Someone did screen captures of my ranking and then went over to Twitter, and they're like a Wanda Scarlet Witch stan account. They're just a fan, and they tweeted it out to all their followers like, I'm not even gonna say anything, and all of their comments are just like, this guy's an idiot, this guy hates everything, and they're going off on me. It's like, whoa, what just happened? So I have gotten so much heat over the last 24 hours for not being excited enough about WandaVision. You are excited about it. Hence the whole point of this, the podcast, the guest, is that WandaVision, I think it's the worst idea I've ever heard. I'm never going to watch a single episode, and I despise Kevin Feige for greenlighting it. That was all sarcasm, if you don't know. And you think it's the best thing ever announced, ever. That's the whole point of this podcast, is that contrast.
Yeah, exactly.
Once again, this is hyperbole.
I think the new trailer...
I've had too much of my energy drink, and I'm getting wacky.
It's good. We need it. I'm really excited for WandaVision. I think that new trailer got me even more excited. I just think it's going to be really different. It's going to be very character focused. And then obviously it showed that there's going to be a little bit of action in there, but I don't know. I can't wait to see how it sort of plants the seeds for stuff we're going to get in, like Multiverse of Madness, and then like eventually Spider-Man 3 and stuff like that. So I don't know, but yeah, I didn't know. WandaVision is definitely one of my most anticipated. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, more of the Winter Soldier kind of spy thing, but it also looks like it's going to tap into some pretty topical social issues, so that's interesting. The one that really shocked me, that I was probably my least the one I was least excited for going into this, and then after seeing the footage, I was like, is this like towards the top of my list? Was Loki. And I'm like, this is interesting. This is like a crime kind of story. It's not like wacky and silly like I thought it was going to be. It definitely feels like they're going.
It's a little wacky and silly.
Well, it's wacky, but I didn't get like camp out of it.
Yeah,
It's not campy. But they're definitely like going places, but it seems like they're following Loki, Agent of Asgard sort of like storyline, which is an interesting storyline for him. And so while I'm with you, Sean, I struggle with, the fact that they killed him only to bring him back, and now he's getting his own series. That's irritating, but taking that out of it, just what we're like looking to get, I don't know. This series looks excellent. Looks really good.
Yeah. So that's I heard a lot of people talking to me because I'm not as excited about Loki. The trailer looked good. Of course, Tom Hiddleston's great in the role. The character's great. But that frustration that they killed him off so well in Infinity War, and I think that death shouldn't matter at some point in time. And when you make a big deal, he really died, and then you announce before Endgame comes out, by the way, we're going to do a Loki show, and then you're watching the movie Endgame, and inside of a movie that they know is going to be one of the biggest hits ever, turns out to be the biggest hit ever, they have a little pause so they can set up a TV show. Yeah. There's literally a little pause inside of the biggest movie of all time for the sole purpose of setting up a TV show. And you know, all these people are like, oh, I mean, it's a different Loki because this is the one that wasn't in Thor the Dark World. He wasn't in Ragnarok. He wasn't in Infinity War. It's a different Loki. Like, right, I get it. Like, I understand how they're doing it. I understand why it's not the same guy. But they killed him off. They had me feel things about no longer having this character. That's a part of it. Like, there's a finality to it that if you brought him back for a cameo through time travel, okay. But you killed him off, which made me feel like, oh, my time with him is done for continuing this adventure. And then you use time travel to bring him back. And that it just cheapens that emotion that you feel when a character dies and it doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they announce like, oh, Tony Stark's coming back, we're going to do another movie with him. Like, I wouldn't be excited about that. If 10 years from now they use time travel and he did a cameo at some part 10. OK, but it took 10 years to bring him back. When you kill him off and before we even have the next movie, you announce he's coming back.
You pulled
the rug out from underneath yourself. And I'm not going to go into it cynical. I'm not going to go into it like hating on it. I'm just annoyed at the concept of all the stories they could tell. Of all the characters, they chose a dead guy. They chose a dead character.
It was
in order to have a 13th. They couldn't let him go. And in order to have 13 shows, it's not like they have a shortage of ideas. They already had 12 other things happening. And that's the side to it. It's like there's so many. And I don't know if they met with everybody's agent and they said, all right, how much would we have to pay you for you to do a TV show for Disney Plus? And Chris Evans was like, nah, I want to go do more serious stuff. I want to do something different. I want to be Buzz Lightyear. And Hemsworth was like, nah, but I'll do Thor 4. Like, is that how this went that Loki came about? Like, I don't know. But they announced 13 and several of them are for dead characters. They're for dead characters.
I understand that. Yeah, it's like that's the part that irritates me. But like just basing it off of like the trailer and the thing we got. Right. I thought it looked really good. Obviously Hawkeye that might be my most anticipated one just because of the kind of story it is. And I'm a massive fan of the Matt Fraction Hawkeye run, which really like humanizes, Clint. And then also like it brings in Kate Bishop, who is like incredible in that run. And so it looks like they're really like going to follow that, comic arc pretty accurately. All the stills we've been getting are just like, they look like they're ripped out of the panels of that run. And, with that being one of my favorite comic runs of all time, I'm like very, very excited to see what they're going to do in this show. Moon Knight obviously is towards the top, even though we didn't get like too much from that. Yeah,
they didn't add much.
Yeah.
Egyptian iconology. There you have it. That's there.
Yeah.
Big new piece of information there, buddy, Mr. Feige.
Yeah, right. I think the interesting thing was the fact that it was the omission of Oscar Isaac. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, that might just be because they're still in negotiations, but it was like, well, the news is out there, Kevin. Like, you know, it's in the trades. Are you just, you're not going to acknowledge that? Is he not officially cast yet? So that was interesting, but nevertheless, super excited about that. Some of the other announcements, I'm trying to think.
She-Hulk, Miss Marvel. So
right. There's so many. I'm trying to rack my brain around it.
Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. I Am Groot. I mean, like 13 different things. Here's another one that was someone pointed out in my comment section. If you look at these, there is in some sense, a female version of each of our original five male Avengers. Kate Bishop, She-Hulk, obvious. Ironheart, in a sense, suit of armor. They referenced Iron Man in it. What If is doing Peggy Carter, takes the super soldier serum.
Great, by the way. The What If series, I was really, really impressed with that.
And then they've said that Lady Thor is going to be in Thor Love and Thunder. That's the stuff to me. It's like every single one of them, even statistically speaking, that's like that is this just because you put so many ideas out there that this happened? Was it intentional? Were you like, man, we lost a bunch of these guys, we have to find a way to replace that void, what's the safest way to do that? There's things like that that kind of like make me go, wait a minute, is this the product of oversaturating, trying to crank out too much stuff too quickly. Yeah. I mean, the other thing to think about with some of this, and we haven't even started talking about the movies. Aren't there four movies in the MCU coming next year?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Blade is coming in like 2022 or something like that. So,
and so you got those four, but then in addition to these four MCU films, you have two cousin films in Venom 2 and, Morbius.
Yeah.
So two cousins, plus we're supposed to also get Into the Spider-Verse too.
It's a lot. Plus
four of these TV shows. So I don't know how many fingers. Was that 11 high profile Marvel things in the next year?
Yeah.
Sounds great for my channel and covering stuff. Sounds like a lot of oversaturation. And that's part of the problem here, is that it's just when there's so much, you know, if I love candy. Well, I took my kids to go see Harry Potter at the theater a couple months back. And it was right around Halloween, so they had candy. So I ate a bunch of candy. And we went out of a fun day, so they could eat more candy in the car. And then we got to the movie, and we bought candy. Got 45 minutes into the movie, Liam's like, I feel funny. And he's making his way to the bathroom. And, of course, you have to wear masks in the theater. And he vomits into his mask, into his face. And so it's like projectile vomiting back onto his face from eating candy. And it's fine. As soon as he got all the candy out of his stomach, he was fine. Mm-hmm. He loves candy. He wanted to eat more candy right afterwards. But too much of a good thing will make you vomit inside of your mask. And that's like, I look at this like right here where you're like, it's so much. It's a lot. And that the novelty, the scarcity kind of disappears at a certain point in time. Yeah. And I think that point in time was a while ago. And I'm obviously going to check all of this out. I just don't know how much of it average Joe is, or I don't know what point in time they're going to just be so burned out. So at what point in time they're going to be like, I can't keep up with all of this. Because even as we talk about this stuff for a living, and we can't keep up with all of it. So let's go back to talking about the movie sides of Marvel. So we got where did the movies on here? So they confirmed Christian Bale will be in Thor: Love and Thunder. We've known that a long time. It's confirmed.
Right.
It didn't really give us an update on Shang-Chi, but said some positive stuff. Didn't really give us any update on Eternals. The big one, though, Fantastic Four is actually happening. Not just a little speculation, but it's happening. And John Watts, the director of Spider-Man Homecoming, director of Spider-Man Far From Home, is the director, and the director of Spider-Man, whatever this next one is and whatever it is called. Feige, I guess, liked him enough to give him Marvel's first family, Fantastic Four. What's my feeling, thoughts on it? I was kind of just like, oh, okay, that's not exciting. I don't hate it, but of all the names that could be on the table, it's like, oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah. What an uninspired and lame choice is all I have to say. I mean, listen, I like John Watts. I think he's done a great job with the Spider-Man films. Hopefully this third one doesn't collapse in and of itself, because apparently Thomas Hayden Church and Willem Dafoe are now in negotiations to be in it. That's no joke. Go check Twitter right now. That's trending. So I'm just like, okay, all right. Crazy stuff. But I think what happened was they probably kicked Watts off of the Spider-Man projects because Sam Raimi's back into the fold. And of course, they're going to give Sam Raimi a shot to helm the live action Spider-Verse film or whatever. So they're probably like, hey, you know, John, we're going to kick you off Spider-Man, but we'll make it up to you. We'll give you the Fantastic Four. And I think the reason why they gave John Watts the Fantastic Four was because so Kevin Feige could easily get what he wants out of the film. I think John Watts has proved himself to be a really solid company man. I can't tell you what a John Watts film looks like or feels like. I do think he's a solid talent, but when you have people like Brad Bird sitting there, who has basically been waiting and making stuff his entire career that makes him a great candidate for that. I mean, hell, I would have even taken Peyton Reed, who is like proven himself to understand how to balance those characters and tell a you know, the
ensemble
first
film.
Yeah.
Sciencey, lighthearted.
Exactly. That's what the Ant-Man films are. They're the fill-in for the Fantastic Four right now. And those are just two guys. I mean, I can think of like a plethora of other names that I think would be more exciting than this, but it's like, this is the Fantastic Four. This is Marvel's first family. This is like, it's a landmark of a superhero property that has been done dirty far too many times and finally deserves to be done right. And that's what we're all hoping with you right. know, the film coming out. And it's like, don't you want to get a powerhouse director in there that's just going to knock it out of the park? I mean, here's the thing that I think would be a genius idea. You know, Kevin Feige is this creative head, and he has a lot of reverence for the Fantastic Four and everything. What if he directed the film? You know, like, he has the experience. He knows what he wants to do with the characters and the stories. I just feel like maybe that would have been a really great way for him to go into filmmaking. It'd be very like poetic in a sense. Yeah. You know, the guy who is like the godfather of like these Marvel comic book films is the guy who gets to bring back the Fantastic Four, which is like the original superhero team, bring them back into the fold with Marvel and do something. I don't know. There are like so many other directions they could have gone in, and John Watts does absolutely nothing for me.
And I think that's kind of the problem. But with Feige, I mean, he can't do it because he's having to produce 12 movies and 13 TV shows over the next 2 years. So
I mean, you're not wrong,
imagine what his day is like, just trying to like get the updates from all the directors and showrunners, all the scripts he has to read just to keep up with this lineup of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of all the names that they could have picked, and they picked one that you went, oh, like even in the sense of, it's not something that you hear it and you go, oh, he's going to screw this up. Like, it's not that. It's just, oh, okay, that guy. Cool. So we had some super chats come in. One, this is a fun one from you. Chill Level TV says, no Tron 3 news. That's disappointing. Excited for Willow. Yes to fantasy. Have you seen Willow?
A very, very long time ago. Okay. I've not recently watched it, but
it's. My wife's claiming she hasn't watched it either. So that's not true, because I've watched it within the last 14 years. But it's solid. It's not Star Wars, but it has some of that flavor to it. You can tell you're watching George Lucas coming off of the high of Indiana Jones and Star Wars and trying to do a little bit more of that and not quite getting there. But, you know, Val Kilmer's a ton of fun in it. There's a fantastic score. But yeah. Pretty fun. If you guys haven't checked out Willow, and you're a big Star Wars fan, you definitely need to check out Willow. Don't expect it to live up, but it's a solid George Lucas pure fantasy story. Eric Thorpe with the super chat. A Crimson Dawn show following Emilia Clarke as Kiara is the Disney Plus Star Wars show I want more than anything they announced other than Ahsoka and Obi-Wan. I would be much more interested in a Crimson Dawn show than a Lando show. Even a Crimson Dawn show that has Lando basically in the lead as part of an ensemble, I'd be okay with that. But like Lando just feels so much like a spice character to me that he amplifies other characters, but he's such like one of these personalities that's so big that it just feels weird to follow him around day to day. He's supposed to play off other people. And I don't know that I would want it more than the things that are up there. But if they announced Crimson Dawn, it would have been way up there for me. Top five of another one that's in that time period that between episodes 3 and 4 that I keep screaming that I don't want. But going into the criminal underworld and leaning into that, that does seem interesting to me, especially when Darth Maul is the one leading it. All right, back to our Marvel movies. They also gave us a little bit of information on Ant-Man and the Wasp 3, Quantumania. I guess that's a fun title. And they said that Steven, Ant-Man's daughter is going to be recast. Cassie's going to be recast with the girl from Freaky, which I assume means that she's going to be pretty prominent in the story if they felt the need to recast her and to get someone that was just led a movie side by side with Vince Vaughn 2 weeks ago. So I thought this was a pretty cool announcement. Not like earth shattering or anything. It was like, oh, that's a nice little touch to throw in there. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Did you see Freaky?
I did. I loved it. Sorry. I liked it. I think there was some stuff towards the end that I struggled with, but on the whole, it was really enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. The director of it, he did Happy Death Day, and he does these, let's take this genre and mash it up with a slasher. And I think that he's onto something there. It's some of the more consistent Blumhouse stuff. That's just fun. And he does fun horror really well. So I really dug it too.
Yeah.
What other Marvel announcements were in there? Anything we're missing? Anything yet to talk about for you?
I'm trying to think of what some of the other stuff was in there. Yeah, no, I think we covered just about everything. I mean, again, it was just like a bunch of like titles that were announced. Logos and temp music is what I'll say again.
I think actually the one thing we didn't talk about real quick, the thing we didn't mention, some people mentioned it in the chat, is Black Panther 2. So they
they've
said we are doing this movie, we're moving forward with it, and we are not recasting Chadwick Boseman. We're not recasting it, and we're going to move forward in a different direction with it. They didn't fully spell that out. You can kind of read between the lines on what that's probably going to be.
Yeah.
And I think on some of this, this is going pure speculation on this, but I assume that they knew stuff long before we did.
He was very
sick. And so for us, it feels like, how are they still moving forward? They just found out 2 months ago, and how can they already have a direction? You know, he probably informed them that he was very sick a long time ago. And so they had alternatives they were thinking about. And then whenever things really started to turn, you know, I'm sure that they were very aware of a lot of that. And so they've had much longer to plan some of this. I would imagine also had conversations with him as to what things along those lines. Not that that would have been the most important thing at the moment, but I'm sure they had many, many conversations, which would explain why they could proceed in this fashion. I think it's pretty wise to not recast or do anything of that nature. That just seems in poor taste with under the circumstances, and totally understand that, you know, it's a business. The character's bigger than him, but it just feels very doesn't seem like that would be received well at all.
Yeah, it's sort of like a damned if they do, damned if they don't sort of thing. It probably is for the best. It's unfortunate because I do think that there was so much left for that character to explore with that character. And I don't know, you know, we'll have to see. I don't know if Shuri will become the next Black Panther, or if they'll try and figure out a way to bring back Killmonger, but it's like a good version of him. And so Michael B. Jordan becomes, Black Panther. I have no idea, but yeah, I'm sure they'll figure something out.
So as we start to close out the main section of this and kind of go into the Q&A, if you're in the chat, you want to start throwing some questions in there, we'll take some questions for a little bit. Generally speaking, for me, as a guy that talks about movies for a living, this is probably like the second or third most exciting day this year was this live stream. Not this live stream, their live stream, the investor stream last Thursday, because there was just so much in there. And so if you kind of watch this, hear this, and you're kind of like, why are they so negative? It's a really mixed bag of emotions. It's not just that there's so many things that I can't wait to see. There's so many things that sound creatively very interesting. There's several safe bets that I'm very excited to check out. There's just a lot of other stuff in there too that's like that sours it a little bit. And when you take it as a whole, when you see so many things that it's like it's tough to not interpret it as decisions being driven by money more than a creative direction. They're a business. Right. I get that. But 13 Marvel TV shows in 2 years.
It's a lot.
With 9 Star Wars TV shows at that same time. Whoa. And I think you see that in a lot of what was announced, that it was very much safe bets. They're looking for content Like, all right, we need to have as many shows as we can come up with. All right, you pitch. What do you got? And if you just went through this list of things announced, me and any of you watching right now, any of you listening right now, we would have brainstormed 75% of these ideas, because it's literally what properties does Disney own?
Mm-hmm.
And what can we do with that? We would have come up with 75% of the total things announced. That to me is where I go, I don't feel like this is the same Disney that was here before, that was just has this deep inspiration. Some of it is. They're still slick as, like, absolutely. Obviously, I love so much of what they put out. It's that balance. And I have to make sure to put all these clarifiers on here so that Twitter doesn't get too mad at me for being negative.
Yeah, right. Because they'll get on your case.
They will. I haven't had it happen yet where someone clips out a section of the podcast and it goes viral on Twitter as people like, this guy's an idiot. So maybe I need to say something like controversial so that I can go viral on Twitter and get hate. Because here's the deal. Disney is the devil. Disney is the worst corporation, the worst film studio. They've put out all the worst movies ever. And I hope that this clip goes viral. Let's make it happen. Anyway, any final thoughts before I send off this version? Once again, if you're in the chat, send us your questions.
Yeah, I saw some people in the chat talking about Captain Marvel 2 and the Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion. That sounds cool to me. Trying to do a gigantic event on television. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think Secret Invasion will be interesting. I'm not like I think I need a little bit more information before I get like overly excited. But seeing like a Nick Fury kind of show could be cool. Who knows? And with the Skrulls, I mean, it's a really interesting, comic event. So it'll be interesting to see them translate that to like the to television or whatever. Captain Marvel 2, Nia DaCosta's involvement gets me really excited. We didn't really get too much from that, but like knowing that Ms. Marvel is also going to be in it, I don't know. It'll be cool to see what happens there, and hopefully hopefully it just kind of like improves upon what they sort of did with the character. Not too strong opinions there, but overall, I mean, there was some stuff I liked. There was a lot of stuff that I didn't like, and I think that this is just the future of content, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah. I know there's a side to it. It's weird to even. I think even part of it, even think about it. We just had this year that was so dry on content because of 2020, so dry, where there was so little, and then you look at the next 2 years. And it's nuts. Like I during my week off, instead of working, I decided to work and started mapping out my next year. And so
you got a lot ahead of you. Yeah.
And so I was like brainstorming, looking at calendars, all the movie release dates. And you get to the month of May and virtually every single week has two big releases. And it's something that was planned for 2021. And it was something that was planned for 2020. And at the same time on Disney Plus, you've got which one's going on right then? Loki. And then you have What If. And so it's literally every week you have two big movies in the theater plus a Marvel show over here. And it just runs like that the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a wild year. It is. I'm so interested to see how it plays out specifically when it comes to my view count.
Well, listen, we only have it starts next month with WandaVision and then. Mm-hmm. We'll be on that kick for a while.
Yep. Yeah, it's I'm pretty excited about stuff coming out again. That's will make my life so much easier, and easier to have exciting podcasts as we're able to have things to discuss.
Yeah, in regards thank God, to, right?
Yes, as opposed to discussing things being delayed, fingers crossed that doesn't keep happening. I'm excited for it. Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in for the audio version of this podcast. When we do them, we stream them live on my main channel. I kind of announced the date early on so people can join in and join in if you would like to do that. Thank you so much for listening, and keep talking movies too much.